Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 114. My name is John. One great big festering neon distraction. I have a suggestion to keep you all occupied. They're new. They're fresh. They're the darlings of left-wing media. They've exploded onto the scene, and they're not only taking on the current Republican regime ensconced in the White House, but also taking shots at the establishment in their own party. They are the Squad. The Squad is in charge. So their climate change legislation takes precedence, and they tell us no one else is offering an alternative. Alternatives are offered, but since those other ideas aren't socialist enough, the Squad doesn't acknowledge their existence. Fuck the $15 minimum wage. The Squad proclaims there should be a $20 minimum wage for restaurant workers. An expense that would destroy jobs. Disagree with the Squad, and you're either a misogynist or a racist, even if you're a fellow Democrat, a fellow female Democrat. They're taking social media by storm, and their names are on the lips of news channel pundits pretty much every day. They are the Squad. There's a notable parallel that they take their name from a cheesy, passe social media fad while promoting failed, outdated socialist propaganda. I mean, you can go online and buy a t-shirt with pictures of the Golden Girls with the word Squad underneath them. Soccer moms talk about getting together with their squad to knock off a few bottles of cheap wine while their kids are on a play date. If you're going to call yourself the Squad, you might as well do the mannequin challenge with your bae. And I can't believe I just used the word bae. I feel a little disgusted with myself. But there's another way to look at the name. The definition of a squad is a small, organized group of military personnel assembled for drill or assigned to some special task. A squad is a group of force. Now that makes sense. The Squad is offering the latest deal by politicians, the Green New Deal. There's nothing new to this latest legislative boondoggle that hasn't been proposed or done in the past. It's just more of the same. A lot more of the same. Oh, this time it's different. Why? Well, this one's green, and green means you care. Just like the not-so-new deals of Johnson and Roosevelt, this latest scam expects everyone to sacrifice more of their earned wealth, jeopardize and penalize people trying to start and grow businesses, and exploits the fear they spread among the masses so that the elites can stay elite. But we really mean it this time. That'll be different. Because this time, it's green. And it's being promoted by the Squad. One of them used to work for Bernie Sanders. You know that groovy old guy so many young socialists love? He's been pushing to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And of course, the Squad, as I mentioned, wants even more. If you tell them that raising the minimum wage so high goes against market principles, and that doing so would cause either unemployment or workers getting their hours cut to keep a business profitable, they'll say, you don't know what you are talking about. Except Bernie Sanders wasn't paying his campaign workers that much money. I mean, you think if he believed in a $15 an hour minimum wage, then that's what he would pay his people, at minimum. But they had to get together and demand a pay raise to $15 an hour. Bernie Sanders complied. But in the process, he cut the workers' hours. Kind of sad that this rich elitist can't or won't reach into his own pocket to pay his people more, like he tells others to do. It's almost like he realized his campaign wouldn't be profitable if he paid people that much. As you can tell by the opening, the original idea for this story was just about the Ford legislators and the squad, their attention-grabbing media exploits, and their plans detrimental to individual freedom. But the more I researched, I realized they're just the latest symptom, aren't they? They're just the heirs to this miserable collectivist throne. They're the 802nd verse, same as the first. The latest model of hypocrisy. If a preacher stands at his pulpit every Sunday and spews fire and brimstone about all the infidelity in the world, and later you find out he's fucking his secretary, do you really think that he believes what he preaches? He certainly doesn't practice it. He can't really believe if he won't adhere to his own teachings, can he? He tells you how you should live your life, but he won't follow his own rules. If he isn't concerned enough to follow the rules, why should you? If you find out a flock of celebrities are attending an environmental conference hosted by Google, and you find out they took over 100 private jets to get there, do you think they really care about the environment? They certainly don't practice it. And that's not the first time something like that's happened. One of the first few podcasts I did nearly 10 years ago talked about an environmental meeting on a remote Pacific island that had so many attendees they couldn't fit all the private jets on the island. Why support a Green New Deal if the preachers of green are fucking the planet with their carbon footprint? Hell, this last meeting was hosted by Google. You would have thought they could somehow, I don't know, make this an elaborate web meeting. Nobody'd have to leave their homes, just log into the event. These elitists have so much money, surely they could afford the electronic equipment, you know, like a laptop. And how come these rich, famous, globe-trotting elitists have all this wealth? I thought rich people were supposed to give all that away. Why aren't they giving up every single penny to those in need and only keeping the bare minimum required for a humble and environmentally sustainable existence? I still cite the idiotic bumper sticker a socialist acquaintance put on her car years ago. Live simply so that others may simply live. Oh, how noble. But nobody ever defines the parameters of simple living. I'm sure they would gladly tell you what you should sacrifice. But you'll catch hell if you ever questioned what they should give up. These elitists really do have a lot of money, don't they? The majority of politicians are millionaires. A lot of them became millionaires after getting elected. I wonder how that happened. Yet, they aren't giving their money away like they expect others to do. I talked long ago about the previous administration telling us how you and I need to sacrifice more to help out the needy in this country. It would have had more of an impact if the Vice President of the United States had been giving more than $150 a year to charity. Looking at the tax records of the previous president, you see that before he hit the national spotlight, his family was giving on average about 1.5% of their income to charity. There was one particular year where my wife and I gave just as much to charity as the Obamas, even though they had three times the income. Now, after he became a household name, those charitable contributions finally increased. Guess you got to keep up appearances. The point is not how little they gave. I couldn't give two fucks about that. My point is, you can't tell me that us lower income people need to sacrifice more when you barely lift a finger. And even when a finger is lifted, it's symbolic at best. At worst, it's a bad piece of legislation placed on top of an already broken system that does little, if anything, to solve the problem. The Green New Deal is expected to cost tens of trillions of dollars to force universal health care on the nation. Now, think back. Obamacare was supposed to solve all of our health care problems. If we need a new plan to solve health care, that means the promises of the last health care deal was a lie. What are the chances of this one being a lie as well? Incidentally, if you go back and search for a speech Barack Obama gave many years before becoming president, you'll see him detail his final plan is universal health care, and that if they have to do it a little at a time in order to force the system into it, then that's what they would do. Looks like the squad is hell-bent on carrying out the master plan. The Green New Deal is expected to cost somewhere around $600,000 per family in the United States. If you look at recent data, the current debt per family is nearing $1 million. That's your family's share of the national debt. This squad and their supporters want to put at least 60% more fiscal stress on your family. Their spending would make Trump's look like a trip to the dollar store. And yet, they try to tell you it's for your own good. They see the problems in the country. They can't or won't see that it was caused by the same kind of legislation they're proposing. Then they tell you they're going to fight for change. It's not really change if it's more of the same, but they're betting enough people don't know that. So many people proclaim they're going to change the world. In your hubris to force the world to your vision, did you ever bother to check what the world wanted? In your grand scheme to make everybody conform to your precious vision of utopia, did you ever bother to ask what everybody else wanted? Or did you assume they don't know what they want? Did you assume they're too uneducated, too inexperienced, too myopic to understand how brilliant your idea is, if they would only just shut up and do as you say? Do you understand that this disaster was created simply from the groundwork of the previous deals, the previous ideas, and they're using that to scare, intimidate, and coercing us into thinking that more of the same will somehow miraculously solve the problem? It's a bad building on top of a bad foundation, and it's destined to fall. But maybe that's exactly what they want. Destruction and the ensuing confusion, panic and anger to destroy the last bastions of liberty so that they can ride in on their collective high horses, feigning innocence and offering the false hope of their morality as salvation, if only we, the people, give in to them. Just like so many times before throughout history, when the people saw far too late what is lost when you acquiesce to the silver-tongued devils. You disagree with me? Okay. You think I'm going too far? That's a matter of perspective. You think you will confront me and change my mind? Careful now. You can challenge me. You can get upset with me because of what I believe, what I stated previously in this podcast and in the 113 before it. You can present your side of the argument to attempt to prove to me how wrong I am to believe as I do. You can pour your heart into every point to plead and or demand that I should think as you. It will not end well for you. You incorrectly assume I have only seen one side. You incorrectly assume I have set myself in my way without considering your side of the issue. You project. You will argue with passion, righteous fervor, and indignation. You will be angry and frustrated when it's over because you have not converted me. You will not understand why I won't see things your way and change. Because you fail to understand one very important factor. I'm not here to battle for your mind, as you are here to battle for mine. I'm not here to change your mind. I'm not here to convince you to change your life to fit my way of thinking. I don't care if you're a socialist. I don't care if you're a fundamentalist Christian. If that's your path, then walk it. I'm not trying to stop you from pursuing your happiness. I'm not trying to deprive you of the life you want for yourself. I'm not trying to limit your liberty to live your best life. I'm not the one trying to make you change what you believe. I don't care what your version of morality is. I will never try to stop you from doing what you believe is best for you. What I do care about, and where I will try to stop you, is when you try to force others to fall in step with your morality. You want to be a socialist? Get together with your socialist friends and be socialists. You want to be a fundamentalist Christian? Then get together with your fundamentalist Christian friends and be fundamentalist Christians. You want to use drugs that are currently considered illegal? You want to love and marry a person of your same gender or multiple people? You want to collect an arsenal of weapons because you're worried about the collapse of society? You want to say things that other people consider vulgar or offensive? Do it! Do all of it! Your only restriction is whatever you do, you cannot violate the natural rights of other people. Whether you do it through direct force or indirect force, hidden behind pretty package legislation, when you go from presenting an idea to making others fall in lockstep with your point of view, you become an enemy of freedom. The moment you and your socialist friends pick up arms to force others to be socialist, or the moment you and your fundamentalist Christian friends vote by majority to have the government force others to conform to your fundamentalist Christian rules, you become an agent of evil. I am here to stop you from crossing the line by forcing others to fit your way of thinking. Of course, I'm picking socialists and fundamentalist Christians because in the current climate, they're the easy representation of left-wing and right-wing hacks. The reality is, there's all kinds of collectivist factions who think their beliefs should be forced on everybody. They pander to single-issue interest groups willing to surrender their freedom, and indeed other people's freedom, in order to gain special privileges and unnatural rights granted by the government. What are unnatural rights? Well, let's see. Let me give you some examples. Forcing people to pay more than the fair value of a job is unnatural. Forcing people to pay for the goods and services used by others is unnatural. Preventing people from protecting themselves as they see fit is unnatural. Forcing people to stand while a song plays is unnatural. Destroying people's livelihood because you disagree with their beliefs is unnatural. And that's just the beginning. Your morality does not supersede the natural rights of others. You don't get to decide how other people choose to live their lives. There's a very good reason why you don't get to do that. Now, this is going to come as a shock, but all you collectivists need to learn one very, very important fact. So, as Paul Harvey used to say, listen with both ears. Turn up the volume a little bit if you have to. Safely, and I mean safely, pull out to the side of the road if you're driving. Step away from cooking dinner. Give me 15 seconds away from whatever else it is that you're doing and just listen. Okay? All you collectivists listening to me? Here's the reason why you don't get to choose how other people live their lives. Your version of morality doesn't work for everyone. I know that comes as a shock to Sean Hannity listeners. I know that comes as a shock to NPR aficionados. I know that comes as a shock to all you socialists who think that everything's going to be perfect once we feel the burn. And I'm absolutely positive a bunch of you Christians are shocked to hear somebody say Jesus ain't the answer for everybody. Your morality, your beliefs may work for you. They may even work for a lot of people. But nothing works for everyone. You cannot force others to conform when conformity doesn't work for them. You must let people find their own way. The most pathetic aspect of all these factions vying for control is that they believe those unnatural rights will bring about a utopia where everyone is happy. Yeah, happily ignorant. Little more than chattel serving the great collective machine, keeping their overlords in perpetual power. Their grand plans work just fine as long as they have enough of whatever group they deem unacceptable around as scapegoats to blame for any problem that may come along, and enough blind followers to support their posh way of life. I was watching that CNN documentary on the 80s, one of the episodes talking about how televangelists took advantage of people to fund their mansions and exorbitant lifestyles. People rightfully decry such predatory tactics, but fail to understand their politicians are doing the exact same thing. You don't believe me? The socialists tout their system as fair, equality for all. But go anywhere it's practiced, and you'll see the ones who control the game live in luxury, while the pawns who fund them scrape by. This prevailing notion that we common people can't do it on our own would be a lot more believable if the politicians weren't the ones holding us back. We can't be left to our own devices because if we do, well, we'll realize we don't need these political elitists and they won't be able to fleece us to feed their bureaucracy. Well, taking generous cuts for themselves and using their rules and regulations to make themselves rich in the process. We have a tax and spend imperialist Republican administration right now. And the Democrats go on and on about how horrible it is. Previously, we had a tax and spend socialist Democrat administration. And the Republicans went on and on about how horrible it is. Why is it so horrible, so atrocious when the other side does it, but perfectly fine when your side does it? Oh, your morality makes it acceptable? It's okay for you to take from honest people because your cause is righteous. I'm sure the televangelists felt the same way. It's all horrible. And the new squad will do nothing but compound the problems. That's all they are, just the latest shyster slapping a new label on an old bottle of snake oil. They tout their grand schemes and mesmerize their followers with promises that simply can't come true. You collectivists think you can build utopia, but you have no respect for how things are built. You see a thriving business you wish to exploit, but you don't see the years of labor the owner spent creating it, or the sleepless nights when it may have all been lost. No, you just look at the result of all the blood, sweat, and tears and proclaim the owner greedy for being so wealthy. You don't understand greed. Greed is not exclusive to the rich. There will always be those who look to manipulate the system in order to gain wealth dishonestly. I'd say look at Washington, but that may very well be why you became a politician. But greed is found in the have-nots as well. Many of them want the government to simply take from the wealthy and give it to them, not because they've earned it, but because their socialist morality deems the wealthy have too much. Those are the ones you want to vote for you, aren't they, squad? Those are the ones who you want to give you the power to take from the wealthy. Isn't that right, socialists? You don't care that the wealth you're taking was obtained honestly by the earner. You just want the power to take from one group and give to another so you fulfill some righteous crusade. You're no different from the other socialists, national socialists, communists, or any of the other collectivist bullshitters over the past century. All you collectivists think you have it all sorted out for the rest of us. It's not acceptable for you to let us figure things out on our own, to let us make the decisions on our own, to overcome mistakes made on our own. No, your solutions for the perceived problems are for you to be in control, you to dictate how the rest of us should live, you to take the earned income of people you dislike and give it to those you do like, and then proclaim victory without ever addressing the actual problem. The latest gang, thinly disguising their attempt to bully us into their morality, is the squad. Squad, band, battalion, division, group, troop, company, regiment, armada, clique, team, faction, whatever the fuck agent of force you want to call yourself, whatever guise, whatever facade, whatever unrefusable offer you present, leads to national suicide. Because none of you collectivists can respect the individual's right to refuse to go along with your harebrained plans. Conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, communist, socialist, corporatist, imperialist, Muslim, Christian, atheist, Keynesian, anarchist, Antifa, populist, it all ends up being the same. It doesn't matter if you're a coward hiding behind a mask, assaulting people as your ironically misnamed anti-fascist army marches through downtown Portland, or if you're a smug billionaire sitting in the Oval Office creating a tariff war, not caring the financial strain it puts on your constituents. It's all about you getting control, growing control, and maintaining control. You don't care about anything other than the fame, power, and votes given to you by those in your thrall. If you can't just leave people alone to live their life, respect their liberty, and pursue their happiness, if you can't control your own self-righteous urges to try to intimidate and harass people to conform to your morality, then I can't sit in silence. I will speak out against you. I will seek to protect others and myself from you, because your power lust will make you cross the line. For most of you, it already has. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.